When you sit, you don't sit with some purpose. You just sit to sit. And the benefits come from just doing that.
Mm-hmm. And some people have asked, they find that Tai Chi and Qigong are very peaceful forms. And I know some people that are doing it for non-defensive purposes. How do you feel about that?
No, it's exactly true. I mean, when you develop your Qi, a lot of stuff comes into your body, a lot of peace, a lot of knowledge. But it's a different kind of knowledge. It's like a clan in a cave bear type knowledge. I do Tai Chi every morning. And my life has been totally different because of it. The way I respond to things, the way I just go about my life is just a lot more peaceful, relaxed in everything I do. And as far as self-defense goes, Tai Chi is a self-defense, but it's just more invisible. It's not as noticeable as other things. Yeah.
It's gentle, and at the same token, it's deadly. It's deadly. Who have been the biggest influencers for you as a martial artist?
My grandmaster, Grandmaster Min Pai, without a doubt. Bruce Lee was as good as it gets also.
I have a feeling that you may be quite humble about your craft, because I have seen your work. I saw you at World Tai Chi Day at Central Park with your students. I think you had, about 6 or 7 students there?
I had about 12, I think.
Okay, so more than that. Mm. And you were working with swords and...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do the weapons, swords. I did a demonstration one day where I created a sword form for the butterfly hand form. Mm-hmm. And my students did the form empty-handed, and I did it with 2 swords, which is on my website. You can see the video.
And again, your website is?
WSAMAI.com. Or, folks, you can just Google up Chuck Fertel. And if you just Google up my name, F-E-R-T-A-L, first name Chuck, the website comes up.
Great. We'll get to see, because I believe you're also a jazz musician, aren't you?
Yeah.
What instruments do you play?
I play both piano and drums professionally.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. How does this type of martial arts relate to boxing?
Well, boxing is a martial art.
Okay.
So is wrestling. And they're not to be underestimated. Wrestlers have won UFCs. Wrestling is a really good martial art, and boxing is a martial art. They're not different. I mean, it's a different system, but it's still a martial art.
Okay. If I came to you as a professional wrestler, could you show me things that would relate to my profession and make me better?
Well, it's a different skill set. A wrestler has a different skill set than what I do. But the approach to becoming empty and feeling the energy around you and what comes into your perimeter... that might enhance a wrestler's skills.
Yeah. Okay. And I remember, when I was a little kid growing up, Bruce Lee was my idol. And I remember he talks a lot about the art of fighting without fighting. What's that about?
Well, it's just, defusing instead of abusing. Defuse the situation. I've been in situations that were confrontational, and I just brought humor into it and tried to make the person that was being aggressive start to laugh. And then when they start to laugh, they see the senselessness in the use of being combative.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's pretty much what he meant, I think.
And you're actually, I believe, a world-class level jazz drummer. How does the drumming or the how does that relate to
interesting
your...
Interesting question.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a drummer, let me just put it this way. The part of your body, the center that you need to be equally balanced in martial arts is the same center that you need to be equally balanced in drumming, which is around where your tantian is, like your groin area.
Yeah.
So a drummer sits on a seat and his 2 legs come out and his 2 arms come out, and they have to be equally balanced, all 4 limbs, and it's the same in martial arts. Your center is right there where your tantian is, which is above your pelvic and below your belly button.
Yeah, very interesting. It sounds like it'd be, you make the drumming sound like a meditation.
It is. Absolutely.
Which is pretty extraordinary. And I would imagine, too, if you're drumming jazz beats, et cetera, that your speed would get into the martial arts, too. Correct?
Well, speed, you know, speed for speed will make you slower. You know, if some guy's trying to go fast, he ends up going slow. That's what happens in most of these other martial arts, you know. People are straining to go fast, and actually the energy ends up becoming reversed. What I tell my students is I'm going to teach you to get in with your yin and bang with your yang. Now, what does that mean? I mean, the yin, the feminine energy, the soft energy is probably where your speed comes, you know. Like, when I move with emptiness. And the only time I get into the yang or the hardness is when I make contact with my opponent, mm-hmm. whether it be blocking or striking. So if I'm blocking a blow coming in, when my arm goes out, it's totally empty until I make contact. Then it's totally full. And then after I've made that totally full contact, it's totally empty again. And I might go into a strike. And I'll go into that strike with the same speed I went into the block, total emptiness. But when I strike, I'm totally full. That's a sort of a condensed...
it sounds almost otherworldly and beautiful at the same time. It sounds like efficiency with energy.
Well, what you do with this is that, you know, you learn all the movements of the five animals and the different kung fu moves, just like a pianist would learn scales and a drummer would learn rudiments. And you master those, and then you forget them. And then when you're in a situation, they just come out. You're playing music. You just stay empty, and all those things that you practice are just there, mm-hmm. depending on what notes are being played in music or what kind of movement was being played in martial arts.
Right, right. And I think you were telling me about a student of yours that came to you who was in a car crash, right?
Yeah, yeah. I have a guy who he was in a car crash. You should see him today. You wouldn't believe it.
So what happened from the time that he came to you and to where he is today, if you could just...
Well, you know, today he's finished Tai Chi, both sides. He's finished four animal forms, and his kicks are like the wind. I mean, they really are. He's 6'4", and he was like 280 when he came to me. He's like 220 now. His body is totally stealth, and he's in total control of his body. When he came with me, he could... barely lift his foot up, and he's still with me today. It's 5 years later, and he'll tell you all about it if you ever met him.
That is pretty extraordinary. Mm. And I think you said you had another student. You know, a lot of people think for martial arts you have to have, you know, a lot of dense muscles and be stocky. But I saw one of your students was an actor, quite light on his frame.
Oh, David. Yeah. Well, David Holt's my number one student. He made third degree black with me. He's in L.A. now. He's been teaching in L.A., teaching martial arts. So when you want to talk about somebody that went all out, he started with me when he was around, I think he was around 21 or 22. He's about 33 now, I think. And he weighed every bit of like 130, 135 soaking wet. And everybody in the school was didn't want to tangle with him at all. I'm talking about guys that were 6'3", 6'4", 2 something. What David did was took it to another level. He never missed a class. He practiced every day and still does. So folks, if you're in LA, look up David Holt, H-O-L-T. He's definitely has my permission to teach. And he's a great teacher and a great person and a great martial artist.
And when he came to you, what level was he in?
He was a black belt in karate.
Okay.
When he came. And I was training one of my students in the park. He came over, and that student was like a green belt, and he sparred with David, and David couldn't touch him. And so David just joined immediately.
He saw the benefits right away.
Well, you know, it's like that. You know, when you have a soft-hard system as opposed to a hard system, the hard system doesn't know the space. It doesn't examine. It didn't take time out to examine the area. So if a guy throws a punch from his hip to full extension, between his hip and his full extension, he doesn't know the space in between. What I teach my students is to know every molecule of space between where they start to move to where they end to move. And that's where coming and playing slow is. If you study piano, you can't get on the piano and start running scales down really fast. You have to go step by step by step. If you study drums, you have to take rudiments step by step by step. Speed comes by itself. Your body intelligence has to go in gear in order to perform whatever it is you're trying to do. And it's the same in martial arts. Every one of my students that come to me, the very first thing I teach them is balance and standing leg strength, and we go from there. And everything is practiced slow. Anybody can go fast, but to really know your body, you have to go slow.
That sounds so refreshing to people that think that they could be intimidated if they go to a class because everybody's moving too quickly. I know in yoga, there's tremendous power in going slow and doing the basics, right? Is that not the same here?
Yeah, exactly. You know, when I do Tai Chi, I mean, I go to the park every morning. I have a little desolate space that I practice in. It's very quiet and peaceful, and I go very, very slow. And that practice allows me to get into every morsel of movement in my body. And then I'll do the Tai Chi form, and then when I do Kung Fu form, the Kung Fu has a whole different meaning. Perfect root and perfect control. And a lot of power.
And why do they call it butterfly?
Well, my grandmaster calls it butterfly because you ever try to catch a butterfly? A butterfly is very elusive and changes form instantly. That's what we do in our system. So it doesn't matter what's coming at me. Whatever I feel, I can change the form. For example, let's say a punch comes and I'm starting to do some kind of a ninjutsu or aikido type of move on the opponent, and the opponent muscles that movement the other way. I'm not going to continue to try to do what I was doing. I just flow with it. He wants to go the other way, fine. Boom, he's hit. And it's kind of like that. That's why it's called butterfly. And it's elusive, and it changes form instantaneously depending on what music is being played and what the other opponent's doing.
Sure. And what do you think is with female clients versus male coming in terms of ability to, because I know this is going to be a big...
You want to know something? When I was with my grandmaster, every couple that came in, married couples or boyfriend, girlfriends, that came into the school, the woman always made black belt before the guy. Why? Well, very simple. The women are empty. You know, if you tell the woman, punch this way, they go, oh, okay, boom. And they do it. You tell the guy, punch it. Oh, yeah, well, boom. No, punch this one. No. And, you know, they have to be deprogrammed and then reprogrammed. But the women usually don't have to be deprogrammed. They usually know. They're just very empty and very responsive to whatever you say, and they just fly like eagles.
So say I'm a woman, 5'4", and someone comes to me who's big and heavy and tall.
Well, it doesn't matter how big and heavy and tall they are. First of all, most of them